The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me. My name is Justin McElroy. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy, your middle-est brother, Travis Patrick McElroy.
And I am the being formerly known as Griffin McElroy, who has transcended into a ball of energy that now surfs the cosmos on a wave of pure energy and joy.
You made it to the next level.
I'm thrilled to hear about your ascendance, Griffin. What was the motivator?
I am getting, I guess, a little bit nostalgic, but I am no longer the one called Griffin. I am now just sort of a being that is just light, if you can imagine that.
Okay.
Can we just go
with Griffin with like a lowercase g? Like you're no longer identified as the noun Griffin, but now just
right.
The idea?
I guess so.
We apply to the energy space that you are inhabiting, Griffin.
Can you just call me Delight?
Okay, yes. Delight. That's cool. Bliss.
Bliss.
This is my brother, Delight Bliss.
Yeah, that's me.
Bliss and Delight. That's
Delight
what it
Blissington.
Is. This is my brother, Bliss Delight. What happened?
It's pretty cool out here in the cosmos, I gotta say. Just surfing by Alpha Centauri, just seeing what's beautiful, and it, you know what the answer is? Fucking everything, guys. Look around.
Bliss Delight, how did this state befall you?
Well, it started, like all good stories, with a harrowing journey through the darkness. As future EGOT winner Lin-Manuel Miranda just started buffeting me with pictures of gold dust, which you know I didn't like.
Yeah.
Every day I would wake up and the pictures of gold dust that I had just like shoveled out of my sinking security boat. You know what I mean? Like my own sort of sense of self-security, self-preservation.
We've all read Malcolm Gladwell books. We know all about your security boat and all of that.
Right.
We gotcha.
I had to get these pictures of gold dust out of my boat. Every morning I wake up, more pictures in the boat. And there was a malevolent, I'll go ahead and call him a demon. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton creator, and demon. Lin-Manuel Miranda just covering me in these pics. And finally, when I reached my breaking point, I could take no more. He turned into an angel. It's kind of like a reverse Satan. He pulled like a reverse Satan 720 heel flip, and he sent
which will get you like super high points in Tony Hawk.
Yeah, of course. If you do it at the end of your combo, he sent a video. He secured a video of Carly Rae Jepsen wishing me just saying that I was doing a great job.
Yeah,
and that's when my transformation began. Like Rachel was home when it happened. She was like, "Whoa, Griffin, light's coming out of your fingertips and all your teeth." And I was like, "Yeah,
yeah.
I think something big is. I think the winds of change are blowing.
Something big is in the works."
And then
my current body's a trailer for my future body.
Exactly. And this happened the afternoon after we recorded the last episode, so we didn't really get a chance to talk about it. And I'm glad we didn't, because this morning I woke up to another video of.
It's weird to even say it out loud, isn't it?
It's weird. This is, I guess, the first time I've said it out loud. Tyra Banks saying that I did a great job.
Ty-Ty Baby.
No, she didn't blow me a kiss like CRJ did. And that was, I mean, an important catalyst in the transformation. But yeah, now I'm just sort of like a being of joy. And I just sort of surf the cosmos. I'm going up Orion's belt right now and going under the belt and checking out his dick.
Don't look to the left.
Nope, I already did. But it's beautiful. All of creation, guys. Look around.
Orion has a beautiful hog.
Beautiful hog on Orion. Look around, guys.
I actually woke my wife and infant daughter up this morning by about 7:45. I guess it was 7:45, 8, something like that. Just loudly exclaiming, "That motherfucker."
Yeah.
Because I just watched the video.
That's how he does you, hot and cold. That's what makes Hamilton such a great creative endeavor, is it comes at you hot and cold. And that's Lin himself, man. He'll
torture you And then just when you think, like, I can't handle it anymore, he brings you, like, the coolest bowl of water. Yeah, and you're just like, oh, relief.
A cool, fire sweet ice. Bowl of water. Of sweet, sweet water. Yeah. And that's what CRJ and Tyra mean to me. Literally just, like, the two best people in the world. And now they've said my name and... Oh, or my former name. Because now I'm Bliss Delight.
Correct.
It's going to make podcasting maybe a little bit harder because I can't like click the stop button on my mouse to stop this recording.
How did you start
I have a helper.
Helper monkey?
I have a helper monkey that does my podcast buttons for me.
Who ironically is named Griffin.
Yes.
No relation.
No relation whatsoever.
So can we assume if we say Griffin in the next few, next hour or so.
I will not answer, that's right.
But we're talking, Travis and I are talking to your monkey who will then pass the message on to you through
vibration.
I can
still fucking hear you and talk to you, idiot.
It's also important to note, Justin, that Griffin the Helper Monkey is spelled with an E-N at the end.
Yeah,
okay. So like, make sure to pronounce that.
Just because I'm a being of pure joy energy doesn't mean I'm not going to call you guys out on your shit, okay?
Can we still like make weird references to 80s cartoons that no one else has seen?
Absolutely. I'm a little bit above that now, having transcended.
Sure.
But... whatever you guys feel like you want to do, I will support you in that. Unless it's really dumb, in which case, you know Bliss Delight's not going to stand for that.
All right, Travis, Bliss Delight.
Also, I've been watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I have decided to become the America's Next Drag Superstar. And my name, yes, it, conveniently enough, will just become Bliss Delight.
Yeah.
Can we also say real quick, happy birthday, Lynn.
Thank you for everything. Yeah,
much like Justin and Travis's birthdays, I got gifts on it, which I really appreciate.
I'm getting married and want a surprise bachelor party. The problem is that my male friends don't know each other that well, and none of them are the planning or implement type. I can't see them calling the others and starting it up. I don't want to tell them what to do because I really want it to be a surprise. That's from Surpriseless in Stockholm. You cannot want surprises. You can't want them. You can't make surprises happen to you.
Yeah.
Also, surprises are the fucking worst.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of like sitting on your hand till it goes up and masturbating, giving yourself a stranger.
That's exactly what it is, Justin.
Let
me check the book. Flip, 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 flip. Yeah. Oh, it's a one-in-one correlation. You are absolutely
exactly
correct.
It's not even a metaphor. It's just literally the exact same thing.
It's just true.
If I almost 10 days ago now. When the chrysalis of light was formed around me, had said like, boy, I sure hope that my friend Lynn sends me a cool video of my favorite musician Carly Rae Jepsen saying that I was doing a great job. I don't think I would have actually had the energy to begin pupating a multiverse.
I'm not sure the universe would have delivered it to you.
That's a good point. Actually, that's the secret. It's the opposite of the secret. The secret just tells you get that surprise. That was the original name of the book, Get That Surprise.
Get That Surprise, - Catch That Kid.
You cannot...
Catch That Kid?
It's one of my favorite running Flophouse jokes.
Travis is making references to other podcasts, which don't exist in the reality of this podcast.
That is non-canonical.
That's non-canonical. Fine. It's not to say I don't think those guys exist. I'm saying that no other podcast exists in
fiction.
You're with me. Okay. Because it's my favorite podcast. One of them. I mean, I like other podcasts. Fuck. You can't just want a surprise and not say anything about it. Also, you can't get it both ways. Either you're the engineer of your own surprise destiny, or you just roll them bones and hope the universe delivers you something.
Well, and the nice thing is here, you could lay out a framework. Like, you don't have to break down every individual event that you want them to take you to. You just have to call your most reliable friend out of this group and say, I want you guys to do something. Here's everyone's emails and phone numbers. Contact me again in 3 months.
My boy, we've spent 3 minutes saying not to do that. And you've just fucking revolted.
No,
you've just betrayed me and Justin.
All you need to do is say, I want a surprise. But not what the surprise must be.
That's terrible advice because we're all wanting surprises. We all want surprises all the time.
Wait, let me roll it back. I have a different suggestion.
Great.
You need to make a new friend before the bachelor party who is reliable and organized and a planning friend.
Oh my God, that's such a good idea, Travis. You have like a screening process to ask people about their event planning backgrounds, and then you ask them like what's their favorite doctor, what they like on their pizza, like friendship screening questions, but keep circling back around to like, so what are we talking about, 100, 150 type person engagements? Like, how big of an engagement have you planned before? How responsible are you?
Is there like a bachelor party planning? Like, you get a wedding planner.
That's exactly. You're on my fucking wavelength. Is it too late to get David Tutera on board to plan your shit?
Who's David Tutera?
You guys are fucking bringing my light down. Did you know that? I've been surfing the fucking cosmos now for about 7 hours. And then this is the event. You asking me who David Tutera, host of My Fair Wedding, only the best wedding planning show in history, in reality. Never mind. Move on.
Oh, okay. A new show. New show titled Say Natch to the Batch. And it's, you get a guy who plans your bachelor party, and you just gotta say, like, ah, naturally.
It's,
and, like,
oh, God.
You just gotta be on board. You just gotta be on board with whatever the bachelor party planner throws out at you. And you know what? Maybe you didn't even know it was the surprise you wanted, but it was the surprise you needed, where he's just like, first, we're going to a strip club. Then we're gonna have brunch with your biological dad. And you're like, what? I'm adopted? And you didn't even know.
We're going to pause the fucking podcast recording right now for 2 hours so you creeps can go watch My Fair Wedding with David Tutera. Just pick any two episodes. Throw a dart at your TV when Netflix is on My Fair Wedding by David Tutera, because he would be the ideal host of this show. Do you know this motherfucker planned a wedding, and all he had to go on was this bride, her name was Candace, and he said, what do you want the theme of the wedding to be? And she said, Candace Chic. And he said, fuck! Okay. And he did it, and he crushed it. Candace Chic, he said, I have this. He could do anything with it. He would throw the perfect bachelor party, but you would have to befriend him, which is a service I think you would probably lend out.
That's a man. I feel like we really solved that one.
Yeah, I feel like we fixed it.
Like, David too Tutera, good?
Get him on the phone. Do it.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Please.
This Yahoo was, there are a lot of doozers. Maybe it's because we recorded the last episode kind of early, and so we had, like, more Yahoo receiving days, but man, there's some slam dunkarooskies up in here. Let's start with this one. It's from, Brooks Oglesby. Thank you, Brooks. It's by Yahoo Answers user unknown. That's not, like, they're not anonymous. That's, like, the designation they've chosen for themselves.
Yeah, is it spelled correctly?
It is, yeah.
How did they get that?
Unknown asks, I need a funny meme for a girl I didn't mean to hurt.
What?
So basically, she kind of liked me, and I said no. I was following bro code, and we used to have meme arguments. So I want to make a meme for her so that she knows I still like her as a friend. I saw a really good one that had forever alone face to it, but I'm not sure. It said, they say love can hurt, so watch out and be clever. Don't start a conversation. Stay forever alone. And I'd send that to her with the forever alone face, but I think that one would do more bad than good.
Yes!
So help me out. Help me out. Help me out. Help me out. I need a funny meme for a girl I didn't mean to hurt.
Should I send her one that says she'll be alone forever, or do you think maybe that might do
Travis,
more harm than good?
You don't get the meme. You don't get
what?
The meme.
You're right, Griffin. I don't.
I love these memes.
I just.
We love this meme.
You're crazy for this meme.
Memes, right? A lot of people are talking about them, and even more people wonder, what are you talking about?
What
really
the fuck are you
that?
Saying?
What's a meme?
What do you mean with meme? Like, I know, like, my generation invented meme, and it had, like, an actual meming, a meaning.
No memeing. We're keeping that.
Meming, where it had a, like, what it meant was, like, some shit that wasn't really funny, but it popped up enough times on internet, or maybe it was funny, and it just got, like, endlessly, just eviscerated by repetition, and it became, like, part of the internet vocabulary.
Right.
Like, here are some good memes that I know about, okay? Mr. T ate my balls, the end. That's the only one that is.
That's the only good meme.
The only good meme is Mr. T ate my balls.
Here's what I'm imagining. This boy, this young man, shot down this young woman, and he was following bro code. No fucking clue what that means. And he needs to make it up to her. So imagine they're on the quad, and he walks right up to her. Because you got to have courage in a situation like this. You can't fucking backburner this stuff. You can't take it through the back channels. When you've hurt somebody, don't back channel it. Front for the front approach. And he walks up to her, and he just goes, hey, Star Wars kid.
Think about it.
Hey, drunk baby.
Hey, did you hear? David After Dentist.
And he just hands her a printed out meme.
Hey, David After Dentist, I don't love you.
Hey, Charlie bit my finger and told me that I shouldn't date you. He was very wise.
I don't love you anymore. That video where the guy does the nunchuck stunts and then tries to do a backflip and he lands on his neck.
Hey, I'm sorry I hurt you. Also, here's a guy jumping into a frozen pool.
Excuse me. Cancel the question.
Uh-oh.
Mr. T ate my balls is 20 years old in 2016. This year marks the 20th anniversary celebration of the first launch of the anchor of the Ate My Balls web ring. Mr. T Ate My Balls, launched, of course, by Nihal Patel, a University of Illinois student in 1996.
Oh, my God. I don't know this thing.
Okay, well
that's because this is literally like your dad's meme.
This is your dad's meme right now. Griffin, let me just give you the web address. Go to flamesgif.com/archive/8_my_balls/Mr_T. Or just search for Mr. T Ate My Balls. What you're going to get is picture. This is what passed for memes in my day, 20 years ago. Mr. T Ate My Balls is sort of like a progenitor of our show because it's pictures of Mr. T talking about how he wants to eat balls. And maybe he ate your balls, or perhaps he was planning on enjoying your balls later. Or perhaps he had enjoyed your balls previously and would like a repeat performance should you have any more balls for him to ingest. Because Mr. T ate my balls.
So it's not like a clever turn of phrase.
Just to catch everybody up on like my current light journey, I'm having like a full-blown panic attack right now. And it makes it hard to sort of sustain. And if I lose it, I'll just be floating in space forever lost in my human form.
Well, it was, if this book sounds familiar to me, it's probably because you read about it in Dave Barry's book, Dave Barry in Cyberspace, which I bet has the choicest cover in the world. I bet it's Dave Barry floating through stars and his fingers are plugged into electrical outlets and he's got like bits and bytes all over his face.
And you know, you want to know the incredible thing? That book is 120 years old. He's like the Nostradamus of comedy. Somehow, in like 1896, Dave Barry, Lord Dave Barry, said, someday Mr. T will eat some balls.
By the way, a little bit of a disappointment. It's just Dave Barry reaching out of a computer screen and pressing a key on your computer.
Which is how he kills you.
To help you get over that disappointment, I have just purchased a copy of Dave Barry in Cyberspace. And the next like 3 episodes can just be readings, I think.
Wait, are you joking? Because if you are not joking, I will do this thing.
No, I'm doing, it's done.
It's doing this thing, okay.
Yeah, like Amazon is like, yeah, we got you. And then the mailman's going to show up to my house like, we got you. Make some good comedy out of this. You paid $13 for it.
Next year is the 20th anniversary of Dave Barry in Cyberspace. So like, I guess he did this the year after Mr. T ate my balls. He's like, I've got to get on the internet.
Yeah, I'm missing so much. I've got to figure out how to do this. Fuck, that's a bad meme. Memes are bad. Don't meme, everybody. Fuck.
This was a meme.
Oh my god.
Memes even memed. Like,
it doesn't matter. It's still the same shit of just like a joke isn't fucking funny the trillionth time it's told. And that's all memes are. Just jokes that you tell trillionth time. Except for a success kid. That's a good one. But all the other ones are like, fucking, what are you? That's not even good.
What they ate my balls.
Griffin, just to be fair, like, that is what a joke is. You know that. Like, those joke books that are like, knock knock jokes and shit. That's just old memes.
Yeah, but memes, I think memes tend to, at least in the way it's being used here, what they do is they take a familiarity and they confuse familiarity and repetition with actual like humor or a joke. Like, there's not actually a joke. It's just sort of like you've seen it enough times that it's a laugh of recognition. Like, oh, you guys, know how when you've been away for a while and you see your house and you laugh because you recognize that that's where
and
you
it
kind
of looks like a face.
Yeah, it's like the door's a mouth and what's going on here.
And he's going to eat you when you walk inside and gobble up your luggage.
And your house, as you step inside, your house is like, I'm going to eat your balls. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I love that house.
Guys, I just want to tell you that this past 10 day has been pretty great for me vis-a-vis like turning into a giant ball of light. The best thing that's maybe ever happened to me in my life is I'm on the checkout page for Dave Barry in Cyberspace. And there's a little window here that says, why wait until January 20th, 2016? The expected arrival date of Dave Barry's In Cyberspace to my house. And it says, read the beginning of this book for free. Start reading button. Clicking it now. Processing my request. Request accepted.
Beep. That's the sound of it downloading.
I've broken it. I've broken the app. I can see the reviews. Library Journal says, hilariously imaginative. Nonstop humor. Whether you're a computer whiz or a computer nerd, this tongue-in-cheek guide to computing by best-selling humorist Dave Barry has enough bite, B-Y-T-E, fuck you in the neck, to keep you entertained. Publishes and weekly.
And it spans from all the way from computer whiz to computer nerd?
That's the same shit.
Anyone in that wide spectrum will enjoy this book.
So I'm not making this up. There's a page of reviews. There's a page of a table of contents, and then 63 blank pages. I think I've been bamboozled by Dave Barry again. How perfect that the web app for Dave Barry's web book doesn't work. Dark omens, bad portents.
You got me again, Barry.
That's classic Barry right there. That's Barry in a nutshell.
This is like when I bought Dave Barry Teaches Driving. And it did not go well. I lost my license.
At the moment you clicked buy, his car careened into your home through a front door window. He's like, let's go, kid.
It was hilarious.
You're with me. God, that was funny, Dave. Some of the other big Ate My Balls sites were Chewbacca Ate My Balls, Neo from The Matrix Ate My Balls. I'm assuming all the characters from Wings Ate My Balls just because like the time.
The time of it, yeah.
The time of it, certainly.
Two New guys, question. A girl, and a pizza place ate my balls.
Yes. Kramer ate my balls, certainly.
Kramer did eat my balls, so that's that one's actually real. Guys, we've had a lot of fun today.
Have we?
I want to make this explicitly clear. Michael Richards did eat my balls. Why are you fucking laughing at that?
That's well, because now you're a being of light. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it helped in the transformation, actually, like less... I was more aerodynamic as I sailed a million miles into the sky and burst into flames of delight. But still, in my earth form, when I was, you know, when I was a being of disgusting flesh, Michael Richards ate my balls, though, for real, though.
Excuse me, pardon me. This just in, oh, I just invented the best game of all time. Are you ready? For the best game of all time, I'm going to read you captions from Ate My Balls sites.
This is a bad game.
You're
going
to tell me who ate my balls. Travis, okay. Are you ready to play?
I am.
This is a bad game. I can't believe this is a fucking meme. And now we're like, now we're part of the machine.
The meme machine?
We're part of the Ate My Balls industrial complex. This sucks. I hate this podcast.
All right, go.
Your balls are the perfect drug.
Ooh.
I'm the one without a soul. I'm the one who wants to eat your balls. These are all the same. These are all the same.
I don't know.
Michael Richards did say some of these things to me, but I don't think that's the right answer.
Your balls are my perfect drug. I feel like it's a musician, and I'm going to be kicking
you
myself.
You let me violate you and eat your balls.
Hannibal Lecter ate my balls.
Oh, Travis, it's Trent Reznor ate my balls.
Oh.
Fucking let me down again. I don't want to play this game anymore.
I was going to say Kurt Cobain, but I didn't. I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah. Next question, please, God. Don't say ate my balls one more time or else I'll burn the podcast down with all three of us inside
Happy
of it.
Happy 20th birthday, ate my balls. You're a great meme as in terms of the strict definition of that exact phrase. You really
great
fulfill
meme.
You really fulfill all the criteria. I work at a bank in a rich part of town. I'm new to the job, and when I ask for identification, I get lectured. You should know who I am. I've had an account here longer than you've been alive. I have a lot of money in this bank. Everyone else here knows me, etc. Brothers, how do I avoid losing my mind? That's from Pilloried in Pittsburgh.
You take all the money out that they have in their account. You fucking wad it up and you throw it at their fucking face as hard as you can. Like, you know, when mobsters like make a point, they're like, yeah, here's your fucking money. That one, like, that's the caliber I'm talking about. And I'm saying, take your disrespectful ass to the fucking Fifth Third around the corner. I'm sick of your shit.
Can you imagine looking at, I was about to say a bank teller, but any human being ever, and saying something along the lines of, you should know who I am.
Do you know? Okay, but like, if you really want to know how to handle the situation, the answer is pity. Because if the thing you have to hang your hat on in your twilight years is, well, hey, listen, at least the people at the bank know who I am, then you have gone terribly awry.
Like, the only time you're allowed to say you should know who I am is if, like, a wife or loved one has been struck on the head and can't remember your name. Only then, and maybe not even then.
In like a nowhere man situation, if like all of a sudden you go to the bathroom, you come back, and you're like, I've never had a husband. Like that's when
you should know who I am.
You should know who I am.
Can I say something though? This is a sick grift, isn't it? If this is 2015, I would really think about getting back in the game. I would need some old age makeup put on by a convincing young cosmetics artist.
You should know who I am. I'm Fifth Thirdington.
I would roll up to the whatever Chase Bank. I'm Mark Chase. You know me. You know my style. I've been here for years. You should know my style.
I live above the bank.
I live above the bank. I've been here for years. You should know this style for this guy.
I'm the old man who always drops off perfect stacks of unmarked bills. I need them all back.
I drop off nasty stacks all the time. I'm
my account number is 2.
You should know my style.
Just go get my stacks.
Go get my stacks, please, before you make me cry more.
My stacks are like my children. I could never conceive.
I couldn't conceive because Michael Richards ate my balls.
Please, just give my money.
Please give me my stacks. I'm so tired.
I just want to die.
These young men are keeping my nasty stacks from me.
Well, this bank floor is so hard. It hurts to stand on it.
Are these lollipops for everyone?
I tried to fill out the proper withdrawal form, but the pin broke all my old fingers.
I was here the day you were born in this bank.
The cost of pudding has skyrocketed to 4 nasty stacks. your pap needs them.
That's a perfect crime. Nobody in good conscience is going to turn you away. They would give you all the fucking stacks that they got on their shelf.
If nothing else, just to make you like stop crying.
Yeah.
Please don't cry.
They would even know that you're a young person in old age makeup trying to rob the bank. That doesn't matter. They would be made so uncomfortable.
You would leave and the manager would be like, did he just rob the bank? And they'd be like, well, he needed it more. Like, yeah. It wasn't really a robbery. We just made a charitable donation to old man, young man Griffin.
Yeah. He needed it. God, 2015, you ended too soon. Fuck. Yep. We're in January. January 18th, 18 days too late.
We'll get it in 3015.
The fucking heist of the century. Yeah, that's a good point. Not 2115?
I guess.
No, let's do 3015.
Give us something to work towards.
Bank tech will probably be like pretty advanced at that point. Like they'll have like every bank teller wears special glasses that lets them see through old age makeup. Because after a rash of crimes, like in 2515, by my great-great-grandkid, who listens to the fucking archives of this podcast that they found, like, buried under the soil of my basement, and they find this, and like, oh, fuck, this is a great crime. And then they do it, and they're billionaires. God, my great-great-grandkid's so cool.
Too cool for us.
I didn't quite math it out right, because I don't think by 2515 I will be 2 generations down. That would be fucking crazy.
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
There's advances in medical technology every day.
Yeah, it's getting wild out there.
It is.
Do you guys want to go to the money zone?
Yes. Are you saying like should we go rob Chase Bank right now?
Basically, yeah. It's the heist of the century.
The 25th century.
Brother, My Brother, Me is sponsored in part by NatureBox.com. I don't know if you're familiar with NatureBox, if you've never listened to a podcast before, but they have over 100 tasty options, like sriracha, roasted cashews, and French toast granola. I've been really into, they have a plantains type vibe that I can get into pretty deeply. They also have Parmesan garlic pop pops, which
I just got a thing called peanut butter graham and jam trail mix.
What the fuck does that even mean? It's just graham crackers
covered in
jam?
Peanut butter. It's graham crackers covered in peanut butter with, like, you know, berries and nuts, and it's like the best.
But no loose jam.
No loose jam.
Okay. That's actually a guarantee they give you before you order anything at Nature Box. No loose jam. You're not just going to open a bag and a bunch of jam's going to fucking fall out. We're Nature
Box.
No
loose jam accidents since 2014.
They've got a ton of, like, really great snacks for you to enjoy, and they deliver right to your door, and you could try them, mix it up every month, get new snacks. You can get your first box right now. You go to naturebox.com, and unlock a world of taste and possibility. That's right.
Still the best marketing writing probably in existence. Oh, your fingers are the key. Your keyboard's the key, your computer's the key. Go to naturebox.com and open the door to the world of taste and possibility.
If you want to improve your style, it can be a little daunting if it's not something that you're intimately familiar with. You don't have the time to read Jesse Thorne's Japanese style fashion magazines that he enjoys. Like, he reads voraciously to keep up on the latest trends. It's impossible. So let me recommend to you Trunk Club, okay? You go to trunkclub.com/mybrother, and you're going to answer some simple questions about your style, your preferences, your size, and you're assigned an expert stylist that is going to handpick clothes for you from the best brands. You just approve the stuff you like, and you send back what you don't. You're only charged for the stuff that you want and you want to keep, and you get to try it all on. It comes in a big, cool trunk, and the stuff you don't want, you got a prepaid trunk to send it back to them.
And you know what's crazy? When you say the thing about the stylist, like, I was anticipating I would get, like, you know, a little chat window pop up.
A little fucking dressed right? up clippy.
Well, just like and it was like, is this a real person or is it? I got a call from my stylist, Brooke, and she was like, hi, shit. Travis. And I was like, oh, hi, Brooke. And we talked about sweaters.
See, I think I would actually, you know how much I love talking to strangers. I think I would actually prefer a little clippy that popped up and be like, suspenders with a belt, huh? Nope, 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 nope.
Well, when Brooke dropped the bomb on me that there's, like, a Trunk Club store I can go to in town that has an open bar.
Hell yeah.
Like, what? Okay.
Yeah, I'm there. So, you're going to want to go to trunkclub.com/mybrother. Remember, free shipping both ways. You'll keep the stuff you like. And it's a really great, great, great experiences. Those stores that Travis mentioned are also in L.A., Chicago, Dallas, D.C., and New York City, where you can meet your personal stylist right in front of them. So again, right now, go to trunkclub.com/mybrother and get your look right.
I want to talk about MeUndies. MeUndies changing the game. Wearing them right now. Keeping me fresh. Keeping me dry. But not too dry.
I am also wearing MeUndies.
Oh, nice. Well, I just am going to start assuming that all three of us are constantly wearing MeUndies. They're really wonderful. Listen, Valentine's Day is coming up, and if you want to get your, you know, zone between your legs and your tummy looking very, very good, I would suggest maybe turning to MeUndies for the perfect solution for that. They're really comfy. They're made of micromodal fabric, meaning they're twice as soft as cotton. Fuck cotton for real, though. MeUndies, they don't just feel great. They look really great. They come in tons of cool prints and styles, and new designs come out every month.
And for men and women, you could get a matching set for Valentine's Day. They got this really cute set that's, like, red with white polka dots. And you and your significant other could have, like, matching genital sheaths. And, like, yeah, go for it.
February has a special limited edition design from the legendary artist Keith Haring. And it's a retro design, and it's inspired by love. Just like me and the three of us, always inspired by love. It's a great Valentine's Day gift. Think about it.
That's how we do our thing.
That's how we do our thing. You can win Valentine's Day this year. Just head to MeUndies.com/mybrother, and you'll get free shipping and 20% off your first order. Don't wait till the last minute. Do it while the idea and the thought of you having a sexy zone is still fresh in your mind. Order before February 4th in the U.S., and your pair will arrive in time for Valentine's Day. Again, MeUndies.com/mybrother. Free shipping, 20% off your first order. MeUndies, dedicated to providing the world's most comfortable underwears.
We also have a message for Brittany from Marshall. Happy, happy, happy birthday, Britt. You are so amazing and deserve the world. Sure show.
Now, I think that's just XOXO, but I do appreciate you trying to read it as though it were like Mandarin.
I read what's on the page, Griffin.
You know what I really liked? That Marshall had more words in this, but he knew he had crushed it.
Yeah.
This Marshall was probably like draft number 5.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know what? Simplify.
Brevity is the soul of wit. That's something I came up with.
I'm going to say happy 3 times. Birthday, to acknowledge exactly what the day is, and then the name of the person the message is for, and then a sentence of nice things, and then some Mandarin, a Mandarin proverb that means
show.
That means I love you so much, Brittany. It's weird that there's a Mandarin proverb that says I love you so much, Brittany, but...
And it's only 4 characters long. That's the weirder part.
Yeah.
It's just XOXO means that in Mandarin, but it's...
Yeah, it's an efficient language. That's why it's
efficient, mysterious language. I got a message for James Donaldson, and this is from Susan, Phil, Drew, Allie, and Greg. They say James. They used some of their characters, about 4, on S's, which is fine. It's their money. You fascinate us with your tiny pencils, snazzy style, design skills with a Z, and disturbing knowledge of fonts and comics. You're the coolest, least moist, non-crevice guy who still can't pronounce the word ambulance. So happy birthday. You're awesome, and we heart you. You deserve greatness, business cards, and this greeting from the McElroy brothers.
How do you mispronounce it? You think it's like ambulance?
Maybe he's fucking Jeffy from the Family Circus.
My ambulance.
There's a lot of talking in here about comics, so maybe he was a comic.
Uh-huh.
Specifically Jeffy from Family Circus. He grew up, came out of the comic like Aha's like Take on Me.
Mm-hmm.
And he fucking became a comic artist himself because it's like all he knew. But the only problem is, if when he tries to say spaghetti, it does of course come out Pischetti, and when he says ambulance, it comes out Manbulance.
Now, would Cool World be a more topical reference than Aha's Take on Me?
No, because in Cool World, the man went into the cartoon, right?
But then a cartoon did come out.
I forget.
And then the cartoon ate my balls.
Right? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Actually, if you eat your balls while in toon form, it does trap you in toon form forever.
You die in real life.
Hi, I'm Brian Safi.
And I'm Erin Gibson.
And we host the Throwing Shade podcast. On Throwing Shade, we look at an issue important to ladies and an issue important to gay people, and then we basically make fun of it.
Yeah, and just to answer your question, no, we don't have a marriage pact that if we don't get married by the time we're 30, we're going to do that
with
each other.
No, that's true, okay? Although we have each been divorced 3 times.
You guys want a Yahoo?
Yes.
Yes.
Bring it.
This Yahoo is sent in by Joel. Okay.
Yahoo.
Joel Davis.
Yahoo.
Joel Davis.
All right. Joel Davis sent this one in. It's by Yahoo Answers user Kenneth, who asks,
what's a frequency?
fuck you. Come on.
I love it.
Kenneth,
Justin, don't ever stop.
Kenneth started his account on January 9th, 2016. I think he started his account to ask this urgent question, and it is a fucking urgent one. And frankly, we are now 9 days behind the 8 ball. Kenneth asks, what should I do about this coyote my kids have been feeding?
What?
I have 2 terrible sons. I added terrible. I added terrible. And that's a bit of editorializing on my part. Bliss delight. But it's true. I have 2 terrible sons, age 11 and 9. I just learned about 2 weeks ago that they have been feeding a wild coyote that lives in the ground underneath a large flat rock in the woods near our house. Mm-hmm. He, in fact, seems quite friendly. My boys introduced me to him. Dad, this is Kyle.
He's our new dad.
My terrible boys introduced me to him. He even responds to their call and comes to get food. However, I wasn't comfortable with them interacting with him like that, and I told them they couldn't feed him or go near him anymore as soon as they showed him to me. We are having quite a cold winter in Minnesota, and in the past weeks, my terrible boys haven't been feeding him. He has begun lingering in or near our yard. He absolutely appears to be starving to death. We will see him wheezing and growling outside. Then, a couple nights ago, my terrible boys decided to leave a carton of eggs and a 2-pound bag of cheddar cheese on our porch because they want to give Kyle diarrhea forever.
They wanted him to make an omelet.
Which you can imagine he loved. He did seem to go away for a couple of days. Then yesterday...
While shitting himself.
Yesterday, he got very aggressive with my wife, scaring her quite a bit and tearing her insulated leggings. I feel bad for the coyote.
What?
I feel bad for the coyote because it seems like he became reliant on the food from my terrible sons during the winter. And now he's in a situation where he didn't move to a location when he should have. But I can't have a coyote attacking my family. If I have to shoot him, I will do it. But it feels wrong, and it doesn't help that my terrible sons had given him a name, Kyle, and grown attached. What should I do? I added a lot of words to that question, and normally I try to just preserve the work as it is in its native state. But boy, when the shoe fits, wear it.
What? Can we all agree that at this point, Coyote Kyle is trying to replace Human Kenneth?
As Coyote Dad?
Yes, Coyote Dad.
New Coyote
like
Dad.
He approached the wife the only way he knows how. He's been courting the two sons. This is like that movie Daddy's Home, except with a coyote.
Or the movie Jack Frost, where Michael Keaton dies and becomes a snowman. Kenneth, I guess he hasn't died yet, has he? Well, he will if this coyote has his way.
I'll shoot him if he doesn't shoot me first.
It's basically exactly Octodad, except instead of an octopus, it's a coyote.
Yeah.
And instead of hilarious adventures, he eats everybody.
He eats all of them.
And he eats them, and it takes 30 seconds. It's a very short game in which you eat your whole family.
Here's a movie idea. Okay. And it's about a coyote that wants to be the dad of a family, but there's already a dad. And this makes the coyote very sad, and it's starving to death. And the coyote is voiced by, who's hot? Who do people, like, love just hearing their,
Channing Tatum?
No. The late night host guy, the British late night host guy that was on that Doctor Who episode, and he was in Into the
James
Woods.
James Corden? Corden.
James Corden plays Kyle, the coyote, a coyote who befriends two children, but his dick, their dick dad, scares Kyle away, and he goes in the woods, and he's starving to death, but a fucking fairy comes to him, the guardian of the forest comes to him and says, Kyle, I'll grant you one wish, and he says, I just want to be the dad of this family, and then the fairy bestows upon Kyle the power to go in and eat this dad wholesale, just eat the dad wholesale, but it's fine because, like, he's the villain in the story, and everybody loves Kyle, and then Kyle gets to be the dad of the family.
Sold.
But you are rooting, again, I have to state this, you are rooting for Kyle. Because he's voiced by a very affable James Corden.
Coming soon from Pixar.
Coming soon from Pixar. Coyote Ate My Dad.
Coyote Ate My Dad, .. But it's okay because he was an asshole.
I really wish I could have been there on the day that the other coyotes went to warmer climes. And Kyle's like, nah.
I got a fucking pretty sweet for situation.
Me, bro. I got it. Completely set up here. Don't
Do you have
trip.
Cheese at your warmer locale? No, I didn't think
Bryce,
so.
Guys, Bryce and Derek, they got me. They are my bone thugs for life.
Yeah.
They introduced me to their dad. We're tight. Yeah.
Stacks on stacks.
I want to be there at the introduction. Kyle, Kenneth, Kyle. Pleasure to meet you, sir. Please don't come around my kids anymore. What?
Crazy about these boys, but Kenneth, he left me a little cold.
1 out of 5 would not meet again.
Would not dad again.
Kenneth, you say you want me to stay away from your sons, but how do you know another way for coyotes to get Dunkaroos? Like, do you know of another way, a method I'm unfamiliar with?
This is the twist. Asshole Kenneth, right, doesn't want the kids to be around Kyle, but he's also not there for the kids. But Coyote Kyle is going to teach asshole Kenneth how to be a better dad when he, like, drags him in the woods and, like, I don't know, keeps him in the woods for a couple days. And he's like, I'll show you how I interact with my family, Kenneth.
And what does that entail? Like, just, like, killing, like, rabbits and, like, bringing them
killing,
home?
Killing, like, fowl and, yeah, you know, sure. Like, dragging, I don't know, rabbits back for his kids. And then Kenneth is like, I've never killed a rabbit for my kids. Kyle, you're the better dad. I've got to go on, I don't know, some kind of spiritual hike for several months. Please don't eat my wife while I'm gone.
Do you think this is how that Revenant movie, like, started when they were, like, blue sky in it? Is that what the film is called?
Yes.
The Revenant
Except
movie?
I think, Revenant.
I think it's called That Revenant Movie.
That Revenant movie and that Nosferatu did, and they would... Like the original idea for the flick was a dad who befriends a coyote and he learns to be a better dad. And then at the end of the movie, of course, he has to kill the coyote just because, like, nature. And then, like, it says something about, like, how humanity abuses nature. I'm still, like, working on what the imaginary pitch would be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But then it got nature versus eggs.
Then Leo rolled up and he's like, they are not going to give me the Oscar for this. They are not going to give me the Oscar for this.
Make it a bear.
Make it a bear.
Step one.
Get rid of the talking of the bear. That's not going to do it for me. I have to
I kill the bear in scene two. I adopt its cubs. Now I am the bear.
This is better. Fuck. Guys, why aren't we making movies?
Being a bear dad is Oscar bait. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. And being a dad named Oscar is bear bait.
Shit.
Science.
How many fucking hearts of the ocean do the three of us fucking manufacture every episode that we then just like toss into the furnace saying like, ah, good joke, bye, good idea, into the furnace with you. And if we actually followed through with our fucking dreams for once, we would be the most successful entertainers in the world.
Yeah. That's we
Coyote Dad coming to screens near you 2018.
Maybe this is the time.
Is this the one that we finally just buckle down and get it done?
Well, we have to come up with a better name than Coyote Dad. All the other
Coyote
stuff.
Coyote Dad the musical.
Dad Coyote Dad
Coyote Ugly.
Coyote
what about
ugly?
Why don't we just call it Kyle? Like if they can call a movie Carol and it's like, what's it about? It's like, don't worry about it. I don't see why we can't just call our movie. Yeah, I don't see why we can't name our movie Kyle. And then we know at least one thing, every Kyle in the world is going to go see it. And that's what, like 300,000 people?
Finally, a movie for me.
Yeah, they will say. And then they'll show up and it'll actually be a story about like being a good dad and a good human, more importantly.
And a good Kyle.
And a good, well, yes. He's
a good human, a great Kyle.
That's the tagline.
And an okay coyote.
Okay coyote, the world's premier coyote dating site. Right next to.
But where's all the coyotes in this bar?
Okay, Coyote.
They're all online, chum.
Okay, Coyote is the second most popular coyote website in the world, right behind Dad Yelp, which is where coyotes leave reviews of dads for other coyotes.
And also hook up. I met my wife on Dad Yelp.
Kenneth, what's wrong? You're crying in front of your computer. Yeah, I just logged on to Dad Yelp, and that coyote that our terrible sons have befriended, he has left some, frankly, some pretty wretched comments about me on here. I think I have to kill Kyle.
I just want everyone to know that it's just occurred to me that when I picture Kyle underneath a rock out in the woods,
yeah.
I'm kind of picturing that shadow wolf from Neverending Story.
Okay.
Who's like the voice of the nothing.
Yeah, sure.
That's how I'm picturing Kyle, but still more charming than Kenneth.
Yeah, fuck Kenneth for real, though. I'm glad
how bad of a dad you have to be before your kids are like, here's our new dad, a coyote.
A coyote?
You'll do.
He ate mom's insulated leggings.
Yeah. He ate our mom's insulin, and he's our new dad, and we love him. What? How bad
Get
is
out,
your real
Kenneth.
Dad?
I do want to just shout out to my girl Amanda on Yahoo. 17% best answers. Not bad. Who says, call a zoo and ask for advice. Animal control will probably just result to violence. Pretty cool.
Haven't we?
Hi, zoo. Do you guys need any coyotes?
I've got a free coyote here for
I've got
you,
a free coyote.
Zoo.
Like, you've captured one? Like, I guess we could open up a coyote exhibit. No, I don't have it under. I don't, like, have it in hand. You guys would have to send your, like, wranglers for that.
Now we're pitching a mouse hunt type movie where a hilarious, like, befuddled zookeeper shows up to help Kenneth catch Kyle, but Kyle cannot be caught. He is outsmarting them left and right while teaching the sons, I don't know, about life?
Yeah.
I don't know. But in the end, they all learn something from Kyle. Also, maybe he's magic? I don't know. We can focus group that later.
I feel like even animal control would be a bit of a stretch, right? Because he calls animal control. He's like, hi, Kyle the coyote. I don't know if you guys know him, but could you come kill him? What's he doing to you, sir? Well, nothing right now, but like, earlier, he tore my wife's leggings and he taught my sons how to vape. And I really, I would like him to be killed, please.
Really?
Is he in your house? No, he's in the woods. No, if anything, I'm in his house.
Yeah, he's in the woods like a regular coyote, but I just hate it when he comes around.
Animal control, could you come take my terrible children away? They keep luring coyotes to my house.
I just hate knowing that he's out there somewhere, thinking about it.
Kyle is out there putting the moves on my family and my house and everything. I'm trying to steal my... I have a coyote who's doing identity theft to me, and he's stealing my credit cards out of the shredded receipts out of there and put them back together. This little challenge.
Kenneth, please stop calling.
Hi, is this the number for animal control? Yes, Kenneth, what is it today? I was going to make nachos to eat during the big game, but all the fucking cheddar's gone. Why is that even close to being our jurisdiction?
I think it was 2 pounds.
It was 2 fucking pounds.
It was supposed to be all the ched I needed for the month.
There's only one animal I know that can down that much ched. Oh, God, no.
No. And it all like Kaiser Soze falls into place in his mind.
Yeah.
He can just see Kyle putting all the pieces
you
in place.
You see four paws walking out of step, and then they start like into a perfect prancing gallop, and then you pan up a little bit, and there's a big fur-lined cheesy mouth. And he's wearing sunglasses, and he goes, nachos. Cut to black.
Fade to black.
No, don't fade. Cut it. Hard cut.
Star wipe.
No, not even star wipe. Like, nachos. Bam! A McElroy Brothers production.
With some Guy Ritchie music.
Fuck yeah, Guy Ritchie's a band. Guy in the Family Ritchies.
Rags to Ritchies.
We're changing everything right now! Film! Music! It's all on the fucking table. The world is ours. We just have to take it. Just have to reach out and take it. Rags to Richies is actually not a great idea because we would have to convince Guy Ritchie to start a family band.
Yeah.
And I don't like the movie is perfect. The movie is Money in the Bank. Rags to Richies is going to be a tough sell.
That's going to be a tough sell.
But you do the movie to support Rags to Richies.
I guess,
yeah,
yes.
It's sort of like, yeah, they form at the same time.
Yeah. And you're driving business to Rags to Richies.
Yeah. That's the secret to good business is funneling.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do now?
I think we should end the show.
Let's end the show too. Yeah, that's a great place to end. Hey, thank you all so much for listening to our program.
Is everybody still recording, by the way? We didn't do a time check.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I want to remind you to go to NatureBox. You can order hundreds of great tasting snacks. You go to naturebox.com, get your first box handpicked, sent direct to your doorstep. And thanks again to MeUndies, who are dedicated to providing the world's most comfortable underwear. Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother for free shipping and 20% off your first order.
Also, the world's best lounge pants. Fuck, those things are so fresh.
Yep, they're so good.
I want to say I'm very excited to announce, I teased it a little bit in the last couple episodes, but my wife Teresa and I are launching a new podcast called Schmanners, and it's all about extraordinary etiquette for ordinary occasions and how manners are used in the modern world, how they still apply. We just put a promo up. If you'd like to check it out, you can go to bit.ly/Schmanners promo. Or you can follow us on Twitter at SchmannersCast, and I posted like the RSS feed and a direct download link for the promo if you're a non-iTunes user.
I did want to ask Travis, I listened to the pilot episode, and are you going to end every episode with you and Teresa having a burping contest?
Yeah, well, you know, we're trying to appeal to as much as to a wide audience as possible.
It just doesn't seem mannerly to me, I guess.
Okay, well, we're still working on it, so maybe we'll edit that out. I've got to send it to Jesse for a couple last-minute
sure,
notes.
Sure, sure, sure.
So maybe the 30-minute-long burping contest will get cut.
There was a lot of it. There was a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of it was just, like, dry heaving
at
the
end. Yeah, it was really, really bad.
But go check it out, Schmanners, at SchmannersCast, or search for it on iTunes.
I have some new projects. I have a new hit YouTube series called Griffin's Amiibo Corner, where I put Nintendo brand Amiibo toys in my mouth and review them. I'm very proud of it. Just search YouTube for Griffin's Amiibo Corner. Justin and I do Monster Factory for Polygon, which we don't talk about a lot on the show, but is also I'm very proud of.
I want you to know the latest episode, and I won't give too much away, but when you're working on the face and you manipulate the mouth to make him talk,
yeah,
I was crying.
Oh, good.
Like, I had a hard time breathing for the entirety of that
Thank
segment.
You very much. Thanks. Me and my wife, Rachel, have a Bachelor fan cast called Rose Buddies. I'm going to try and get an official podcast feed up for that, but right now they're up on SoundCloud. You can find that on SoundCloud. And I should be launching a new video game podcast this week with Polygon's Nick Robinson that I'm also really happy about. Might be next week on that one, but I'll let you know when it goes up.
What's it called?
I don't want to say.
Okay. It's a really good
one. It's a really great promo, Griffin.
It's called...
Okay.
How much work it took to get to that point.
Yeah, no, a ridiculous amount of work to get to.
All right, that's gonna do it for
Justin, do you have anything you want to plug?
No. My baby.
What about Sawbones?
My baby's doing great. Sawbones is a medical history podcast that I make with my wife Sydney. It is you will learn something and you'll laugh. And you'll laugh and learn. Our new episode is about green sickness, which is sort of like anemia, except it's fake.
Okay.
And, it's a great app. So check that out. Sawbones on iTunes or at Sawbones on Twitter or what have you.
I want to say thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for using our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. terrific album. Always great for a listen any time of year, any mood, any feeling you're trying to capture. This album has it all. Also want to say a genuine thanks to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who has turned the My Brother and Me appreciation group on Facebook into just a nonstop fucking screaming hilarious party. Yeah,
if you're not on that Facebook group, you need to get there. Search for the My Brother and Me appreciation group. Just a quick note to people on there. We, just so you know, like when you try to put things on there and they don't appear, we're fairly stringent with like we had two posts this week that were videos of Tyra Banks and Carly Rae Jepsen saying hi to Griffin. So like we try to keep a pretty high bar there. So if you notice that you're like putting things and it's not, they're just not going through, it's probably because we're not letting them through, because we're pretty strict about what we put up.
What Justin is saying is find a celebrity and get them to reference our show in some way, and then you'll make the cut.
And like A-list, please.
A-list, please.
And please don't just fucking find a picture of a horse and say like, I know who loves horses. Stop it.
We do love horses.
We do love horses, but we already have all those pictures printed out and pasted all over our room like serial killers.
Yeah.
All right. So y'all want the final Yahoo?
Hit me.
This one was sent in by Zoe Kinski, Climbing That Ladder. Thank you, Zoe. It's also sent in, I did a Google search or a Gmail search for it. It's also sent in by Russell Troyer like a month ago, and I just missed it.
Weird.
Thank you to both of you. It's a smash hit. It's from Roxy's Girl, who asks, Army Wife or Arby's Wife?
I'm Justin McElroy. I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm, what was it? Bliss Delight.
Thank you for listening to My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
I listen to Bullseye because no show does a better job of showcasing the best creators we have today.
It's like the liner notes on a favorite album, but for everything in culture.
It makes me happy to hear music I've never heard before, voices I'd never thought to listen to, and culture recommendations that are outside my comfort zone. That's why I listen to Bullseye. You should too.
Bullseye's your guide to what's good. From MaximumFun.org and NPR.